My queerness is very, very much political, mm-hmm. and it's a revolt against the system. Mm-hmm. And I clearly did not see queerness as just sexual orientation or gender identity. It is how I choose to interact with the world, how I choose to stand against oppressive system.
Podcast Burkhülshoff Center for Literature.
Yeah. Adija, so we ask guests to come with quotes mm-hmm. from their favorite queer book. Mm-hmm. And I really want to listen to what you have to say.
Yeah.
I mean, the quotes you have for us today. And maybe that will lead us to the conversation we will be having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The book I brought is called Melissa. It used to be called George. That was in the first publication. But then the author, Alex Juno, who's also non-binary, decided to not use the dead name of this trans person and titled the book Melissa. So I'm just going to read from that, and I'm going to read a little bit from it. It's a middle grade book, so it's, I think, for like 8 to 12 year olds or something, or 8 to 14, but I read it in my 20s, so you can still read it. Mm. Yeah, and it's about a trans girl, and I'm reading from chapter 9, where Melissa comes out to her mother, and her mother doesn't really immediately understand and doesn't accept it and says, well, you're just confused. I'll read.
Yeah.
Can I come in? Mom asked. Yeah. Melissa sat up and Mom took a seat at the foot of the bed. Okay, I'm going to restart that, okay?
Yeah, please take your time.
Can I come in? Mom asked. Yeah. Melissa sat up and Mom took a seat at the foot of the bed. Melissa, I'm going to be honest. I worry about you. There are a lot of kids like Jeff out there and plenty who are worse. Mom blew a puff of air up at her bangs. I mean, being gay is one thing. Kids are coming out much earlier than when I was young. It won't be easy, but we'll deal with it. But being that kind of gay? Mom shook her head. That's something else entirely. I'm not any kind of gay. At least, Melissa didn't think she was gay. She didn't know who she liked, really, boys or girls. It's a bit long. Then why did I find all those girls' magazines in your closet? Mom raised an eyebrow and a curved wrinkle formed across her forehead. Melissa drew in a deep breath, held it and let it out. Then another. Because I'm a girl. Mom's face relaxed and she gave a short laugh. Is that what this is about? Oh, gee, I was there when you were born. I changed your diapers, and I promise you, you are 100% boy. Besides, you're only 10 years old. You don't know how you'll feel in a few years. Melissa's heart sank. She couldn't wait years. She could hardly wait another minute. Tell you what, Mom said, patting Melissa's knee. How about we do something special tonight? Let's go to Arnie's. Arnie's all-you-can-eat buffet was Melissa's favorite restaurant. You'll feel better once you're eating nachos and pizza and pie like a regular kid.
What?
Yeah. For now, just chill for a bit. That's what I'm going to do. Melissa knew Mom was trying to make her feel better, but it didn't work. Nothing. Certainly not a buffet dinner could help the fact that Mom didn't see her. Yeah, and that's the... Before in the novel, there's this person, Jeff, who is like beating Melissa or George up. And then the mom is obviously really scared and is trying to explain to Melissa, well, why did you do this and why are you like this? And then Melissa comes out and, as we just heard, didn't really go that well.
Yeah, and like I find this very, very interesting, the whole like page you read.
Mm-hmm.
I find it very interesting because there's still this like, I mean, from this text, I also got to, which we know is a lot of people confuse gender identity for sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Melissa's mother would say, oh, not that kind of gay.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like, okay, being trans is an exaggerated form of being gay. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's so crazy.
Yes. And also that in the US at the moment, there is this talk about eradicating trans people, which is literally just saying to kill them.
Mm.
And I don't really understand why you would even say this word and think it's fine to just say that you don't want these people on Earth. Like, I really don't understand.
Especially,
what they even did to you. Like, it has nothing to do with you, what someone's identity is.
Yeah, and I'm like, people are so ignorant. They are willingly ignorant, because you can actually just grab a book and do your reading and get like understand these experiences of trans people. You can also like Google things up in this time and age and not just come up with like this whole legislation to criminalize people, actually people. That's so ridiculous. And I would also want to understand what your definition of queerness is, because I start from there by asking guests how they see queerness. What does it mean to them? Because queerness means different things for different people.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to be able to fully get into this conversation, we need to understand fully how you see queerness.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like an extent that one could be queer to? And I'm just so interested in that.
Mm-hmm. Well, my queer identity, or that I have found out, is that I am asexual, and I have tendencies to also have aromance, like that I'm not interested in a sexual relationship with almost nobody, and I don't have this sexual desire with people, and I also don't have much of a romantic desire with people. So I don't want to be necessarily in romantic relationships, only like very few people. And that is already really underrepresented in the LGBTQIA+ community. And so I sometimes feel like I can't really add anything, or I can't really say anything about queerness, because I don't have many, I only have my own experience, and I don't really have other people that I could ask what their experiences were when they were younger. Because what I have heard my whole life is, when I said, well, when you're younger and you're like in your teens and everyone's starting to fall in love and stuff, and you're like, well, I don't like anybody. why do I like anybody? Is something wrong with me? And then people always would tell me, well, the time will come and you'll find the one or something. But then that never happened, and also doesn't have to happen. But people always gave me the impression that it will come and it has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is part of life. It has to happen to you. And I always questioned that, but I never knew anything about asexuality. I just found out about it like a few years ago, that this even exists and that I could be that, and that exactly the definition of it really suits me. And yeah, so I'm still like on my journey a little bit. Like, I don't have a clear definition for myself how I am queer and how I see queerness, because I'm still learning, I'm still growing, and I have to like really rely on myself. And there are a few books now about it, but not that many, and usually they are like young adult, but there aren't many books for adults that explain, there are a few, like one I can think of that explains what asexuality is. And but people usually, when they also want me to write anything about it, they want me to explain what it is and not go any deeper. And sometimes I also think I can't go any deeper because I don't know that much. Like, I don't know much about it yet myself. So that's how I see my queerness. How about you?
This is such an interesting perspective, which I never actually thought of. Also, in the definition of queerness, some people are excluded. And since, like, there's not been a lot of documentation around some of these orientation, other people tend to just erase them and, like, invalidate them in different ways. For me, how do I see queerness? So my queerness is very, very much political, and it's a revolt against the system. And I clearly did not see queerness as just sexual orientation or gender identity. It is how I choose to interact with the world, how I choose to stand against oppressive system, how I am odd in a society, and despite every plan to erase me, I still like resist by pushing back. So it's very much how I survive in a time and space. So queerness is protest. Queerness is rejection of the norm. Queerness is saying it's okay to be abnormal, and we don't have to create this whole new normalcy and position ourselves like cis heterosexual people, because it's just like putting ourselves in those boxes which we're fighting against. So yeah, that's how I see my own queerness.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, like, also it's actually pains me that this erasure is also but actively happening. But would you call it erasure when it comes like also asexual people? Currently, I mean, not so much is being had. Conversation is being had when it comes to asexuality. It's about like gay people, lesbians. I mean, recently people have started talking about pansexuality. And yeah, the plus. So, I mean, when it comes to that, would you say it's erasure, or we don't have enough knowledge?
You know, I don't think I would call it erasure, because if to erase, you first had to be there, and we weren't really there. So we can't be erased. We just have to be a little bit more included in the conversation. And I have never felt like very welcome to go to any Pride Month event or whatever. And I, as I said, I feel very, still very unsure about my own identity and my sexuality and my orientation, which is because there isn't anything really that I can hold on to or anyone that I can really ask. And maybe most people maybe don't need that, but I think having a role model is kind of helping to also know that you are not alone and to know that you're not the only one experiencing these things. And also to maybe be able to ask someone, hey, I'm feeling this. Do you also have that? And because I don't have that, I wouldn't really call it erasure. Maybe in the past, but I don't know about it. Maybe in history something happened and they have been erased. I don't know. But at the moment, I would say we first have to be included. And we're not really erased because we weren't there to begin with.
Thank you so much for that perspective. Because I do believe that, yeah, there are some people that are just like put aside when it comes to the LGBTQ discourse. And also in the community, a lot of people in the community also don't validate the existence of other like sexual orientation aside from being a lesbian, being homosexual. And yeah, so that's why I'm looking at it from that perspective. If people consciously just not talk anything about it. And also, it brings me to, I'm thinking while like in this conversation too, who has the power to erase? Is it like the state or even the people?
Asking me?
I mean, like, it's, yeah, just like, it, like, do you want to talk about it? Like, who has the power to erase?
I don't know. I don't think we can find an answer for that, really. Mm-hmm. Like, not a clear answer. But I think there's obviously erasure from society, which is usually on the people who get a lot of attention. So at the moment, it's like trans people, drag queens and kings, and people who perform, and people who are really visible. Those people always scare conservatives for some reason and scare their own cis heteronormative life. I don't know why, but as I said, I don't understand that. But that makes absolutely no sense to me. It has nothing to do with you, but whatever. And but there's probably how I feel also erasure within the community, where, I mean, everything is like hypersexualized. Mm. Like absolutely everything where I look, there's sexuality. And I don't always feel super comfortable with that. But I also don't know how to state my boundaries or tell people, hey, I don't want you to talk about what you want to talk about. I can't do that. I mean, if you want to talk about something, do that. I don't want to like limit your speech. But I also maybe feel uncomfortable, or I don't have anything really that I can say. Like when I was younger, when I said, and people talk about falling in love with people, and I'm like, yeah, okay, great. I don't know. I don't have anything to add. And then they're asking me how I define love or something. I don't have that. I don't know. And so I think, as I said, there is erasure from the state, which is very scary and dangerous, which is why we need people like you to speak up. And then there's also erasure in the community, which is also to me very strange, though, because we should be like one. But I think sometimes every letter is fighting for themselves and for their own rights. And there are some letters, like the T, the trans community, that really needs help from everyone because they're being literally murdered. And then there are people like me that are just invisible. And if you're invisible, you're also not in danger because nobody sees you. So sometimes, you know, I think I should help more the other people, but also I would like a little bit more visibility.
Mm. Yeah, I really see that, especially with trans people. It seems like everybody is like coming for the trans community. I mean, the case in Africa is like slightly different because now in there's now in like most part of East and West Africa, there are active laws against everybody in the letters, everybody all together. And sometimes the trans aspect is ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, so it's quite crazy. And I mean, moving on to your to intersectionality, right? You like possess different identities as a queer woman, as also an immigrant in living in Germany. How is that experience for you, and how has that also shaping your own artistic practice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe I'll just talk a little bit about it. I'm born in Germany, born in the north of Germany, so in Bremen, which is...
Oh, Bremen.
Yeah, and now I moved to Hamburg, and then I moved a little bit around, but then I came back to the north. But my parents are from Turkey, and they moved here, like, in the 90s to come here, like, a lot of people to work, as the workers that Germany needed at the time. And, yeah, I was born here. Maybe they even came early. I actually don't really know. I think a little bit earlier, maybe.
Did you ever ask?
I don't know.
Did you ever ask them? Did you ever ask them?
Probably, but I forgot.
I feel you.
Must be. My mom maybe came later, and my dad was here maybe before. I don't know. But, yeah, so... I look Turkish. My name is Hatice, which is a very common name in Turkey. Like, if your parents are uncreative, they call you Hatice or Ayşe. It's either one of them. And my parents were uncreative. Or they told me that they couldn't find a common ground for a name, so they just picked the name that everybody picked.
Wait, how many names do they have to, like, choose? Because in Nigeria, you have to, like, choose... you can get, like, at least 7 names.
What?
Yeah. On the day of your naming ceremony. Is it?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I have, like 4 names for my own. Yeah, and there are people who have, like, more and more and
Do you have 4 names? Yeah. Tell me what are the names.
One is, Baptisma is Matthew. Chukwudi is my Igbo name. God Day is also my native name. And there's this other one, Friday.
You really
because
forgot.
I was born in Friday, on a Friday. Okay. But I never used that. Yeah.
Okay. That's really interesting. I think we can only have 2. I only know people with 2 that are born in Germany. But I don't know if they are maybe... Maybe I do know someone in school that had, like, 4 names also, and I'm like, and he used every single one of them all the time. I'm like, okay, sorry, but I'm just going to say your first name, and the rest, I don't have that much brain power. How did we get here?
yeah, we're, like, just talking about your life, basically.
And, okay, so my parents came here. Named me 1 name that was the uncreative one. And then, so I grew up here in Germany. And there is a lot of, it is better here in Germany because it's like, it's a Western country. And there's healthcare. There is insurances. And if you don't have a job, you can get, like, help from the state, from the government, with money. But there's still a lot of issues here too. I think, again, for black people, probably even worse. But there's a lot of hatred or racism just for everybody who looks different than white or German. I used to work in a bookstore, and I can't tell you how many times people ask me if I speak German or if I can read, or they asked me, they didn't want me to touch their money or their, like,
what?
I was, yeah, I don't know why, to be honest, if I looked so, I don't know what I did, that they didn't want me to help them. Sometimes I was the only one that could help them, and then I thought, well, then you're not going to get your pencil today in the right pencil today. Because I was the only one. I did the pencils and stuff, and there are, like, so many different things. And then I'm like, okay, I'm not going to help you. You don't want it. Your problem. But I just didn't really understand why they don't like me. And then that was when I started to realize so many things in my life that happened were because of racism. And I had one math teacher that... lost her book with her with the solutions to every math problem that we had as a homework, and she thought I stole it, And she didn't even ask anybody. She just immediately looked at me and said, well, you looked at your friend, so I think you stole it. I'm like, I want less math in my house, not more.
Oh my God.
Why would I steal it?
Oh my God, that's so ridiculous. And also, like, when it comes to, also being odd, being not odd, like being different in a place, actually, can, like, it's exhausting. It's draining on different levels. Sometimes when I enter a bus here in Germany and I'm the only black person, I'm like, if something goes wrong, who is the first person they'll blame? Me. And it's so scary. And I'm sure that must have been your situation, like, in the math class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in a lot of situations. I'm also very scared all the time to enter a bus. If I don't see a woman in a hijab or I don't see someone looking like me, I'm like, okay, then I'm just going to exit the bus when something happens. And I have done that multiple times. So I just left because people either started yelling or I don't know why I'm triggering this in people. I have no idea. But sometimes I'm really scared to take the bus, and then I'd rather take the train because usually on the train it's always people that need to go to work quickly, and then they don't bother you because they also don't want to be bothered. But in the bus, I don't know why these things happen all the time, but they happen all the time. I had once a woman come up to me and she told me, I still can't. She said, I know you and I hate you.
And oh my God.
I have no idea who she was. Or how she knew me, I have no idea. But I triggered something. Maybe I once cut her in a queue or something, in the supermarket or something, and now she hates me, or she knows me from Instagram
my books. That's too much. No.
Yeah, and you go out of your way to get up in a full bus to tell someone, "Hey, I hate you." I don't understand. I don't get it. And then, obviously, because I do art and literature, I have gotten so many emails in which people, like, I had one conversation when I was starting out and when I was still in uni, where I was supposed to be in a literature magazine, or like a piece of my poetry was supposed to be in it. And then the guy who edited, the editor, told me on the phone, "Oh, I really like your work, blah, blah, blah." And then he said, "You also used a metaphor. Do you know what a metaphor is?" I'm like, I'm studying literature.
What?
I was also present in fifth grade, thank you. And then how do you respond to that? Like, on the one hand, you think, why on earth would you say that? On the other hand, you think, well, if I now say something, will that effect that I'm not gonna be in this now? Are they gonna say something now that I always say something and I always like defend myself? And I'm now being like, I'm very I wouldn't call myself like you an activist, because I don't think I do enough to be an activist, but I am very vocal about pretty much everything that happens that annoys me, especially like in German politics, but also in the US and stuff. I don't do that much there, but if there's something I feel the need to say something, I do that. And then sometimes I think publishers are scared to work with me because I don't know if it's true, but I always feel like they're scared to work with me because they're scared that I'm going to hurt their brand, which is always not political. And my new book is very political because it's about me growing up in Germany and it's about a lot of racism.
Oh, damn. I mean, when we get to that part, this point you raise is actually, I think we should digest it, especially because if you are facing this, like, issues, talk more of like someone who is black. Like, it's so insane. And but it's so sad how the realities of our, like, various, like, home countries would make us just leave and go to other places with better opportunities, and then have to, like, bear all of these things, because back at home, no one would care about, like, okay, your race. There'd be other, like, pressing issues, right? And yeah, I think you're also, like, doing important work when it comes to that. And I want to know more about your whole artistic process, especially with your writing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Yeah, I want to know more about that.
Okay, should I just talk about my... I can just talk about my writing.
Yeah, I mean, like, talk about your work, what it, like, looks into.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, okay. Yeah, so in my new book, as I just said, it's about...
I think you should talk about your work generally first.
Okay, yeah, okay. That makes sense. So I am a writer. I'm a writer, but I also do a lot of, like, intersectional things.
Mm-hmm.
But everything starts with writing. So I write mostly prose, but also a little bit of poetry. I'm always also scared to call myself a poet, because that always is connected with so much prestige, kind of, and that you're intellectual and everything has to rhyme, and my stuff doesn't rhyme.
Mm-hmm.
So it always starts with that. And then going on from that, I also do, like, installations based on the writing.
That's cute.
And I have two things out so far. One is, like, a short story about also my family history, but about mostly the female relationships in my life. So me, my mom, and my aunt, my grandmother.
Mm, a trinity.
Yeah, and that's why I called it Ein Oktopus hat drei Herzen, or an octopus has three hearts, because three people, everyone is one heart.
Yeah.
So cute. It's not really that cute, a story.
Podcast Burkhülshoff Center for Literature.
Queer Circles is a joint project between Matthew Blaise, Miriam Bettin, and Burkhülshoff Center for Literature, in cooperation with Goethe-Institut Nigeria. Funded by the Bundesstiftung Magnus Hirschfeld and by Fonds Soziokultur within the program Neustart Kultur on behalf of the Beauftragte der Bundesregierung für Kultur und Medien.